There was an idea called the Avengers Initiative. The idea was to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they could become something more, see if they could work together when we needed them to fight the battles that we never could. Phil Coulson died still believing in that idea. In heroes.
How you doing, folks? Welcome back to another installment of Movie Punditry. Hope you're doing well. Mr. Mike, how are you doing?
Mr. Mike's doing okay. How is Mr. Randell doing?
I'm okay. I'm all right. Being the dad of a 2-year-old and a 7-year-old has its days, but I'm okay. And we are here with the first installment of our Movie Punditry Order, where we will take you through, like, the premise was, what if you had to explain or introduce someone to the MCU and get them caught up in the shortest amount of time possible? And I think it's perfect because you have Quantumania dropping February, right?
Yes, very shortly.
Actually, a little too short for this, probably. But, like, yeah, so if we wanted to get somebody at least, you know, halfway caught up with the MCU and prepare them for Quantumania, or I don't even know what's coming in the summer, Guardians 3. Because even if you probably try to sit somebody down for every single film, that's a lot. It's time consuming. People have jobs, people have lives, and not everybody has that kind of free time. And just, we thought it'd be a fun exercise to do. So we will present to you in this episode our phase one. Mike will give his, I'll give mine, and why we think this order works. Aren't too many rules to it, just what we think. Mr. Mike, anything you want to add to this?
Well, just, you know, in case anybody's questioning, like, oh, well, you know, it's like the MCU's been around for, you know, 15 years. Why are you doing this now? You know, there are always young people. There are always people who are coming to it. I mean, I remember there was after, like, before The Force Awakens came out in 2014, there was all this kind of conversation about, you know, oh, if you're bringing somebody into Star Wars to get them ready for this, what order should they watch the movies in, you know? And, you know, so this, we're just trying to do the same thing. You know, we have a, you know, phase five is about to launch. And, you know, we've got 3 movies coming out this year and 3 movies coming out next year. And, you know, it's a good time for somebody to jump in if they're going to jump in. And we would want to just kind of give our thoughts on what's the best way for, you know, any listeners who have MCU newbies to get their friends caught up and ready to go.
And with that said, my first movie for phase one, for phase one would be Captain America. Why? It's the earliest in the timeline. Also, I never felt like Cap got the proper respect he deserved as the heart and soul and leader, unquestioned leader of the Avengers. So he's got to start it off first. Everyone was able to fall in love with Robert Downey Jr. And for a good part of time, I feel like he overshadowed Captain America up until, I would say, the Winter Soldier, and then you had the whole Iron Man 2.
And Ultron, probably.
Oh, yeah.
Because that was the movie where they were in together, where you really, I think, got to see that Steve Rogers was actually the leader of the team over Tony Stark.
Yeah. The other thing is that, for me, is that Winter Soldier shifts the tone of this whole thing. And you can, maybe this is just me, it felt like that movie meant a lot to a lot of people, almost as much as that original Iron Man. And the quality of Cap's movies started to go up, while I won't say Iron Man 2 takes a dive. Iron Man 3 isn't as bad as everyone makes it seem. And I get why a lot of people don't like Iron Man 3. It's different. And he's not in that suit for a good portion of that movie. But that was the point of the film, right? To establish this guy is, I am this dude whether I'm in the suit or I'm not in the suit.
Absolutely.
But for a lot of people, they don't see that. And as you rewatch it, that film holds up a lot better. But the quality of his films, it suffers a bit. Like, Iron Man sets this really high bar, and it just doesn't get quite back there. And there's never a solo film after that. So going back to what I was saying, Cap was started off for me. I'm a big on like in-universe time and chronology. So starting at that earliest period would kick off phase one for me, because you get to see an Infinity Stone. You know, even though you're not... So for me, the other thing too is when I first saw that original Captain America, I thought that was the Cosmic Cube. And then they call it the Tesseract, and I'm like, huh? So I'm like, well, did they change the name? Does it still operate like the Cosmic Cube? Which, did they ever really clear that up?
Yeah, I think they did. I mean, obviously, you know, they were going to have, because wasn't even, weren't they like the Infinity Gems or something like that in the comic?
Yeah, they were the gems. I also thought it was the Cosmic Cube, because that was one of the things Red Skull is infatuated with in the comics. Like, getting this thing and having this ultimate power. I mean, even to this day, and that's part of his character, trying to get that the cube. So I wasn't sure, because, you know, MCU is not the same as the comic book, so I wasn't sure if they ever clarified that.
Yeah, no, and I think kind of the, like, for me, like, kind of the main difference is that, you know, the Cosmic Cube, like so many things in the comics, you know, had whatever powers it needed for that particular story.
Yes.
Whereas the Tesseract was kind of more straight line, you know, as to what it does. Even though we didn't understand that in the first movie we saw it in, which is, you know, the first Avenger. You know, like we didn't realize at that point that, you know, it was a like a teleportation device.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't destroy Red Skull, it just transported him somewhere. Which makes me wonder if like those three Nazis are transported somewhere.
Oh yeah, you know? About those dudes.
And those 100 other guys, you know. But they were like kind of very straight up about what it was, whereas like, you know, the Infinity Gems in the comics kind of were kind of vague in terms of, well, we needed to kind of do this, so we needed to kind of do that right now.
Sort of like they did that with Vibranium, because Vibranium in the MCU is very different from Vibranium in the comic book.
They try to hand wave it a little bit. I mean, not so much in the MCU, but at some points they were, like in the newer comics, they were trying to hand wave it. It was like Wakandan Vibranium and like Antarctic Vibranium and or whatever, you know, it was like different kinds of stuff. And then,
yeah,
and then, well, okay, so which is stronger, Vibranium or Adamantium? You had that whole thing going on for a while.
Yeah. What is your number? What kicks off your phase one?
Well, for me, it's Iron Man for a couple of reasons. One is because it's the OG. You know, it is the thing that kicked off the MCU, set the tone, set the stakes in terms of how grounded and realistic based these movies were going to be. You know, obviously, even though they deal with all fantastical things and crazy science that doesn't exist and all kinds of stuff, they're all still somewhat grounded in reality, unlike, you know, some earlier comic book adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this kind of like verisimilitude that Jon Favreau and
RDJ brought to and Kevin Feige brought to that film really kind of set the tone for everything that we were going to see after. And, you know, I will maintain that that opening, that cold open in Iron Man is about the best in the MCU. And especially if you're coming into it not knowing what's going on, you know, and all of a sudden there's, you know, here's Tony Stark and he's a playboy and here's all the stuff going on. And then there's this, you know, terrorist attack and he's blown up and he's, you know, and now we kind of rewind and go back and now we're going to tell you the story. But I mean, you know, just think back to when you saw that movie and you watched that first 5 minutes of that movie for the first time and there was no MCU at that point. That was crazy, you know? So I really think it's a great place to start off, both, you know, from a storytelling point of view and also just because just a little bit of kind of history there.
The interesting thing for me is I've never been a big fan of that film. And if you've listened to this podcast long enough, you know I absolutely hate going to the movie theaters. I didn't see that movie in the movie theater. And looking back now, I wonder if it doesn't hit that. There's two reasons why. There's one reason I know it doesn't hit for me is because, so let me stick this first thing. I think not seeing it in the theaters at the time it was released, and I've never watched that film in a theatrical version. I've always seen it on TV. Never went back. Like, I have the DVD as well. Never went back, loaded up to watch it, like, by myself. It's always been, like, on, like, a TBS or Spike, and that's how I've always watched it. Thought it was good, but I do admit, seeing that thing in the theater at that time would have been really good. And didn't that come out about the time of Dark Knight?
Yeah, it was...
that same summer.
Right about the same summer, 2008, yeah.
And I also think me being such a big DC fan might have played a part in not going.
Entirely valid. I mean, because up until that point, you know, Marvel adaptations were pretty hit or miss. Yeah. I mean, you know, you had, you know, prior to that, you obviously had Blade, which was, at least the first one was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of diminishing returns with those. You know, I think you had the first batch of the first three X-Men movies, which were, again, diminished. You know, I wouldn't say diminishing returns. I'd say it kind of peaked in the middle.
Yeah, because that last one was bad.
It was horrible.
And as soon as they announced Ratner as the director, I was like, yeah, this isn't going to end well. The other thing for me, it took me a while to get on board with this guy being Tony Stark. My earliest connection to Tony Stark is those 1990s Iron Man cartoons on Fox. Go back and watch those now. Those were dark. That block of X-Men, Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, and Iron Man, those were dark. They dealt with the whole demon in the bottle arc. They did the whole Rhodey having PTSD and not wanting to get into the suit stuff. And he didn't make a lot of jokes. He had his women, but that version of Tony Stark with the mullet and the... He looked like a Latin Lothario. He was a much more serious guy. So now I see, you know, Robert Downey Jr. yucking it up, and it's like, I guess, I mean, it eventually works, but it's kind of like if you grow up with certain versions of characters, then you get this on-screen portrayal, and it doesn't hit the same way. It takes a while to get used to, and then, you know how memories are when you're a kid. Those are kind of like, they set the foundation for what you know. Like, for me, Batman isn't the Frank Miller version. It's that Bruce Timm version that you see on Batman the Animated Series. So I think that's another reason why it took me a while to warm up to this MCU version of Iron Man. My number two is in chronological things is really my thing. My number two is Captain Marvel. Because if you go in this order, it's the earliest you see of, okay, there's this Avengers thing. There's this plan in case something goes wrong and why we need this. Because when you get that post-credit scene in the first Iron Man, what is it? It's Sam Jackson talking to Stark about the problem in New Mexico, right?
Right.
If you go with the Captain Marvel...
Well, the first... The end credit scene in the first one is him coming and kind of showing him the Avengers Initiative.
Okay.
The scene with him talking to Tony Stark about New Mexico was in Iron Man 2. It was actually, they were at the diner. And he's like, I got a problem going on in New Mexico right now, you know.
Okay.
Because that was Nick Fury's big week.
Okay. So, for me, I think about when he's, you know, typing that up on the computer. You see why, like, okay, alien, he knows of alien. So, when you hit the movie, the Avengers film, you think this is the first time an extraterrestrial forces attack the Earth, or the first time we'll learn about this might be an issue. And it's like, no, Nick's known that this was going to happen, something like this was going to happen, and he's always been preparing for it. And he does have something in waiting. Now, the flip side of that is him pulling out that beeper in Infinity War. It would hit pretty hard because you're like, oh, I know who he's calling. I mean, we knew like guys like me and you and the non-casuals. But having already been introduced to her, if you go in this order, it's like, ah, yes, he's bringing in the big gun. What do you think about me taking that as my number two?
I guess that's valid. I mean, I thought we were doing phase one movies here, so I
didn't know. I meant like, what would you take and what would be your phase one?
Oh, I see what you're talking about. Yeah, so I guess that's pretty valid because I hadn't even really considered it that way. You know, that is kind of an early step in.
Oh, you know, I made a mistake. I was actually supposed to go Agent. So I didn't make it. I'd also throw in an episode or two of Agent Carter with that. Because then you get a bigger backstory on S.H.I.E.L.D. as well. Because you don't really know much about S.H.I.E.L.D. So, like, you get a little bit of S.H.I.E.L.D. in, you get a okay amount of S.H.I.E.L.D. in Captain America. Then, if you take, you know, some Agent Carter, you get much more, and you get some, because Jarvis is in some parts of Agent Carter, right?
Yes, he is.
So, you'd get some of that as well, which would set up some Iron Man stuff. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you've got me all discombobulated now.
I'm sorry.
I guess that's fair. I mean, I guess see now here's the problem, right? Is there's some movies that I would probably exclude from this, except there's stuff in them that's really important.
Yeah.
You know, like Iron Man 2, you know? Like you could take out all of the Whiplash stuff because it doesn't really matter. It doesn't mean anything in the larger picture. But all that stuff about Tony connecting with his father, Tony's father's work, you know, that becomes really important. And so it's like, I don't know how to separate that stuff out. Like, you know, like there's stuff in Ultron that's important later, but there's stuff in Iron Man 2 that's really important later. I almost wish you could just like kind of pare it down a little bit.
There's a few movies in this damn thing that I wish we could pare down. Which What was the one movie that we said just had an editing issue? It wasn't Black Panther. It was one of there's a movie in this damn thing that we said was horribly edited. I can't remember. So then what would be, what's yours now that we kind of, you know, rethought this out?
Well, I mean, I'm staying with my number one, and I think my number two would be Captain America, the First Avenger. Because okay. You have, like, this 1-2 punch of Tony Stark and Steve Rogers, who are, you know, the two, you know, kind of alpha males in this whole thing. And, you know, it does bring this important idea of, you know, kind of the roots of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, starts to bring the Infinity Stones and kind of the more cosmic, you know, elements of the MCU in, and really grounds you in who this character is, and you know why he is the way that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Although why he couldn't just jump out of the plane, I don't know, but you know.
So my third film, going to throw you off, and it's going to throw some folks off. I would go Guardians of the Galaxy. You get the cosmic space stuff sooner, and there's not a big enough connection to anything that's going on Earth that it doesn't disrupt too much of what's going on, and it lets you know that the stakes are much, much more, much bigger, because you see that there's like, oh, everybody's got, not everybody's got powers, but there's a whole bunch of individuals out there in the entire universe that are stronger than these folks on Earth. And I don't know, I just thought it'd be really cool to get that sooner than get that later. Because remember, the whole thing is we got to condense this down for somebody and give them the really important parts. And what's your thoughts on that one?
I think that would actually be my number three too, as well. For the
look at reasons. That synchronicity, Sting would be proud of us.
You know, you're bringing in, like you said, you're bringing in the only thing that kind of works against you there, and it's fine. Is you lose that sting at the end of the Avengers with Thanos.
Yeah.
Because now you see Thanos, and Thanos is a character in this movie. I can live with that, you know? But you're bringing in another Infinity Stone, you're bringing in the Kree, you're bringing in, you know, this larger galaxy of worlds and things, you're bringing in you know, you're bringing in the Collector, so you're bringing in the Elders of the Universe. I mean, you just bring so much in with that movie.
I'm trying to figure out, how do we get Thor in there? Because I would say of all those looking at Phase 1, we both agree, Iron Man 2, there's parts that are necessary, but you could do away with it.
Yeah.
And if we're trying to keep it to, like, essentials, I think Thor is the one that you can get rid of.
But it's well, tough. I think you can, I mean, you could, the one you can get rid of is definitely the Incredible Hulk. But,
you know, they don't even have that listed on Disney Plus. Like, they didn't even, I guarantee they didn't even ask you.
Because that's a licensing thing.
But you think they asked, or you think they said, yeah, we're good?
No, well, it's they don't want to, you know, they don't want to pay Universal. Because don't forget, a standalone Hulk movie, Universal has the license for it. Disney can use the Hulk as part of a team, but they can't make a standalone movie.
So you know what's crazy? Feige clarified that. I saw an interview with him and Nate Moore, and they were talking about a standalone Namor movie. And what they said was, you know, we can put Namor in a movie for as much as we want. Like, because there would be no way to regulate the amount of time he's on screen. It'd have to do with title, like the posters for the film, and a few other things.
Exactly.
But then they're like, but how do we advertise this as a Namor movie, but we can't advertise it as a Namor movie?
Exactly. And they're in the same boat with Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, they can have Hulk in as many movies as they want, TV shows, whatever, as we could see. But if Hulk is like the protagonist, like the main selling point of the movie, then that's Universal's.
And so it's interesting to me because I'm like, well, you guys are smart. You got to be able to figure this out. Because if you tell me there's no time limit on how long this guy can be in the film, and if he, even if he can be the focus, you're not dumb over there. Somebody's got to have a way to...
I don't think it's a matter of dumb. I think it's a matter of they don't need him, you know? And that Hulk is better as
support,
kind of another, like a side character, almost. You know? Because neither one of those Hulk movies was good. And he's, you know, I think they've, you know, unless they figure out a particular nut to crack with it, I think you've told enough of Hulk's backstory that, you know, we can have Bruce Banner going forward, and he can be interacting with other characters and stuff, and we can get all the Bruce Banner we need. We don't need to do a story right now. We don't need to do a story focused solely on Bruce Banner.
I agree. But I think you, I don't like to use words, have to. There should be a Namor movie. You've went all in on this Mesoamerican representation. I see the commercials on TV. We are now in the phase where we are centering the Latin population in commercials. And I'm not saying that bad words, that's a good thing, you know, more inclusion. It's a lot of money on the table. They might need to bite the bullet on this one and do what like they did with Sony and do some revenue sharing or something.
But what's the story going to be that they haven't already told us?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of source material out there. But I think that's something that you should explore. I mean, you can make up anything. I just know that that's something that I'd like to see.
Yeah. Don't know that. You know, there's enough, you know, they've already given us the backstory. They've already told us kind of the origin. And, you know, is it better to spend their money telling stories going forward than looking back? You know, someday maybe they do it. Maybe they work a deal like they did with Spider-Man, you know. We'll do a revenue sharing. You let us tell the story. We'll make your movie for you.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Who knows? I mean, it's certainly a compelling enough character to do that.
I mean, because if you can give me... What was that Spider-Man movie we didn't like? Far From Home. You can do something for Namor. There's a few up here that is like, did we really need this? I got 1, 2, 3, 4 Groot shorts. You could have given me 2. Well, it's 5 of these things. Like, I was taking from a DC perspective, right? DC's good at, is sometimes just make a movie. Like, it doesn't have to fit in a larger narrative. You can just tell me a story. Just give me a Namor story. And.
Yeah, but Marvel's not playing like that.
We both said it sometimes.
Because they've been successful with their connected universe and successful with their long-term storytelling, which is something that DC has not been.
But how much praise did we give both Black Panther films? Because for those films, they tend to cut out a lot of that MCU stuff. And they just tell me this story. like their best films, even though Winter Soldier is still an ensemble film, you're telling me the story of Steve and Bucky and this guy that's not going to let his friend go down this bad path. That's everybody loves that. I think that's a universally top three thought of Marvel film.
Absolutely, it is.
They can tell a good story. And
in a way, you know, I mean, Iron Man 3, which I'm on the team that's, you know, in the top tier of MCU movies. You know, that's another that's just focusing and barely gives any lip service to the larger MCU. You know, I don't disagree with you that it should be done. I just think I don't know if they're going to do it because they seem to be going all in on this connected storytelling.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you know, The Eternals was pretty much a self-contained story. Didn't really work. But then Shang-Chi was kind of a self-contained story and it really did work. So, I mean, who knows?
Let's go back to something and then go back to The Eternals. Spider-Man, it works as well as it does because of Iron Man 3. Like that whole, you don't need the suit. Well, what is it? If you're
nothing without the suit, then you don't deserve the suit kind of thing. Yeah. That's exactly like the message of Iron Man 3.
And
Tony learns that lesson and then turns around and gives it to Peter.
Now back to the Eternals thing. Why didn't that movie, why do you think that movie didn't work?
I don't know if it was just too much a bite of the apple. I think the core story was pretty deeply flawed. You know, this idea that the Celestials are planting seeds inside planets and there's this giant Celestial growing out of the Indian Ocean. You know, I mean, where'd that guy go, you know?
Apparently, and we'll get to this in a minute, and it's going to be a big part of the bloated Captain America New World Order story.
So, you know, I mean, I think some of the characters are great. I think some of the performances are great. I don't know if they just took too big a swing and they kind of stumbled a little bit. You know, I'm not saying I hated it. I'm just saying it didn't really land the way that everybody was hoping that it would land. And it was another one of these kind of, you know, it was kind of similar to Guardians of the Galaxy. And it was kind of like people look around going, who? You know, the Eternals are not, you know, for the casual fan, really. You know, but I think they took it too seriously. Whereas, you know, James Gunn and Guardians were just kind of tongue-in-cheek the whole way.
Yeah.
And let's poke fun at the genre. You know, Eternals was kind of like, let's do this really seriously and we'll throw some funny lines in.
If you took that Marvel Studios logo off that movie, what would people have thought?
Off Eternals?
Mm-hmm.
Probably the same thing they thought. I mean, the movie is what the movie is. And I don't think we were, you know, like I said, I don't think there's a lot of big, oh, we're connecting the dots to all these.
No, yeah, that
story.
Yeah, outside of a couple of references here and there. That was pretty much its own thing. Yeah, I watched it and I was like, this isn't horrible, but I wasn't blown away. Back to our order. Is there something else you would throw in before we get to Avengers? Because if you consider the route we went, you're not getting a lot of Hawkeye and
if you cut out Thor,
mm-hmm.
The problem with cutting out Thor is you don't have this real dynamic between Thor and Loki.
Yep.
and that's a bit of a problem.
I'm trying to think. We also, there's no Black Widow in the original.
She's in Iron Man 2.
So we wouldn't.
She's in Iron Man 2, but she's not. You know, she's like almost like Clint in Thor. It's like kind of there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think introducing those characters in Avengers is fine. You know, the problem with leaving out Thor is that you kind of lose all of Loki's motivation.
True.
For what he's doing in Avengers.
I mean, yeah, because then he's just another big bad wanting to take over the world.
Exactly. You know, you lose the, you know, the whole bitterness, you lose the whole, you know, my father lied to me my entire life. You lose the whole, you know, jealousy with Thor thing. You know, this is the way I'm going to prove myself because, you know, nobody believes in me. I mean, you know, all that stuff that comes out of that third act of Thor. Can we just do like the third act of Thor and like the second act of Iron Man 2? Can I do a fan edit of those two movies into one movie and we drop that in the middle?
I'm looking through the one shots to see if there's anything that will cover the gap.
There's not.
Yeah. I mean, can we take an episode of Loki?
Can we what?
Can we take an episode of Loki and throw it in
there? But all that stuff happens after.
Isn't there isn't there part of it where he sees his past on some Ghost of Christmas Past type thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, you could almost, like, drop Ragnarok in there, you know?
Is there an episode of What If that covers this? Maybe if you took episode 3 of What If? Because Loki tried to take over the Earth in that one. You don't get Thor, though.
Yeah. But at least you get an idea of who Loki is.
Yeah. And if you took What If episode, What If Thor an Only Child, you get that they call each other brother. And you... I mean, he's not party Thor. And sort of. Maybe if you took episode 3 of What If. That might be playing too loose. I don't know. I wish we had someone we could test this on. Like, we need, like, a college intern.
We All right, we're hiring an intern. There's no pay.
But you get to watch MCU
stuff. You get my Disney Plus password.
I live 5 minutes from a college. I should give it a shot. Like, just watch this MCU stuff in the order that we tell you and let us know what you think. You don't have to write it. Just leave us a voicemail. I don't see any... I think we have to throw Thor in there at least. And that gives us what? I think that'd give us 4 films each.
Yeah.
And I think what was... Phase 1 was 1, 2, 3, 4... 5. I mean, that would still put us at 5 films.
Yeah, it's the same number of films. I mean, if you count, obviously we're counting the Avengers, it's the same number of films going in.
Yeah. So we didn't really condense it. We gave you a shorter... I guess it works.
I guess we gave you a more direct path to it.
Yeah. And then the timeline will fit. Should we leave it there for this episode and then phase 2 the next one and just talk about some other stuff?
Yeah, I think that works.
What have you been watching?
So I've been finishing up or trying to work my way through a couple of things. One is... Hunters, which is a show on Amazon.
What do you think of it? Because we talked a little bit about it.
I love it. I think it's great. There's a big, two kind of big twists at the end of season two. How far have you gotten? Have you watched any of it? Or?
I got to a specific part in, let me see, I'm trying to look at where I left off. I got to part of season, I think episode 3, a scene where something was going on and I was like, oh, that's enough for this show for me. And that was it. So yeah,
I'm not sure I know what we're talking about, but
they walked in on a guy doing something weird. Oh. Well, not to say weird, I'm not judging anybody, just different. And I was like, yeah, okay. But the premise is right up my alley.
Yeah, I mean, I think you get past that because there's really not
any more of that stuff.
There's not any of that in there, yeah.
It's okay.
Definitely just kind of a moment.
So, I mean, if you want to spoil it, go ahead.
So, well, I'm not going to spoil it, but, you know, so the whole kind of thing in, like, the first two seasons is, you know, that they're looking for, like, one particular Nazi.
Yeah, and that the guy from the first episode that was, like, a government official?
No.
Okay.
When you've, you know, and they talk about him as being, like, the wolf. And they kind of lead you down a couple of paths as to, oh, maybe it's this person, maybe it's this person. And, so they hit you with, kind of a double fake out. Like originally you think it's that guy. And then they lead you down this path of, oh, it's this other guy. And then when they finally find that guy, they realize that it's not him. And then who it actually turns out to be is like kind of like, holy crap. But then there's another twist like right at the end. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Like right at the end.
I'm not going to.
No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Sure. Because somebody may be watching it, and it really informs how you watch it.
Okay.
You know, maybe somebody's going to watch it because of this. But there's a one twist at the end. Like, they double bang you with two big twists at the end of season two. I'm not often surprised.
Mm-hmm.
These two really surprised me. And and now I'm, like, working my way through season three.
Okay. I've been watching Tulsa King.
And really?
So, normally this wouldn't be my thing, but somebody at work was watching it, and I got into it, and I pretty much finished it in a weekend. I didn't think I'd like it. It was really good. Really, really good. Funny. I guess it's by that dude that does Yellowstone and
Taylor Sheridan, yeah.
Yeah, I guess he's getting all the shows now. Also, Homecoming on Amazon. Phenomenal. Is this Julia Roberts? Have you seen it?
No.
It's running like, it's supposed to be like a transitional home for veterans, and they're trying to help them get like familiarized back with society. And in reality, they're like kind of doing these experiments on them. And I'm trying to think who the other main character is. Stephen James. This dude can act. This dude can act. Have you seen Surface on Apple TV Plus?
No.
Very good show. So I think he's, I wouldn't say he's going to be a superstar, but you'll continue to see him a lot, and he'll do it. You see 21 Bridges?
Yep.
He was, I think, the guy that gave Chadwick Boseman that flash drive.
Okay.
In the subway. And he also did If Beale Street Could Talk. What else did he do? I can't remember, but really, really good actor. And I think you would like Homecoming a lot. Two seasons, you'd breeze through it. Episodes are short, maybe like 20-something minutes. Some good science fiction in there, pretty grounded. But you'll definitely like it a lot. So that's what I've been, Tulsa King and Homecoming.
Yeah, so I watched, like, I watched Tulsa King, like, I don't know, the first maybe episode or two. I don't know, it just didn't connect. I think for me it was just kind of trying too hard.
Okay, I can see that.
And maybe because, maybe part of it was I was, like, kind of already sour on it because, you know, watching Yellowstone, it's like every commercial break was the same freaking Tulsa King commercial.
Okay.
And I was like, no, I'm not watching your stupid show, you know, just out of spite. I mean, I get it. And Stallone, you know, for everything people say about him, he does have comic chops.
Yeah.
When he wants to. And, you know, I mean, I guess it's okay, but I think probably my main problem with it is, you know, I've seen this story before of the guy who's been in prison and he's so out of touch with society.
Yep.
But that's not what prison's like anymore.
No, yeah.
You know, these guys got internet and they've got, you know,
iPads,
programs and they've got iPads. You know what I'm saying? It's like he wouldn't be like, you know, a 1970 gangster coming out of prison in 2022, you know?
No, and a lot of this, if you watch prestige television like we do, you'll see a lot of this stuff coming. How it gets there is still entertaining, but you will see a lot of this stuff. You'll call the ending by episode 5.
Right.
It's one of those type of shows. It's not doing anything new. All the characters are characters you've seen before, but it's entertaining.
Yeah.
It's only 8 episodes, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, if it's your thing and you find it entertaining and you want to bust through it, I mean, you know, that's cool. I just think Taylor Sheridan has done better stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I said my piece about that.
Okay.
I did watch the third season of Jack Ryan. Which is on Amazon. That's, you know, I've always been a big Tom Clancy fan. You know, I've read the books since, you know, I was young, like over and over and over. I love all the, you know, the Jack Ryan movies, you know, Hunt for Red October and Clear Present Danger and all that stuff. This is kind of a reimagining of that world. It's not like
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it's not like trying to tell that story. It's like saying, what if we took this character and did a completely different story with that character? Gave him a completely different origin. And for the most part, it works. I mean, Krasinski's really good. He's kind of, at times he's kind of a little too good. Kind of a Gary Sue kind of character. But for the most part, he's really good. You know, Wendell Pierce, I think, really works. He's pretty good. And then some of the guys that they have coming in as, you know, just, you know, whether it's the bad guys or whether it's, you know, CIA guys, just kind of supporting characters. Some of them are really, really fantastic.
I've always been meaning to check that out, and I've never got around to it. I enjoy Tom Clancy video games, if that counts for anything.
Not exactly what I'm talking about, but okay.
Big it's a fan start. Of Ghost Recon and The Division.
Is Splinter Cell a game?
Yes, and they need to come out with another one, and I don't know why they've taken so long.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that hasn't been turned into a show or a movie.
Yeah.
Because that would work really well.
And you know, speaking of video games, you know, obviously I've been watching The Last of Us, which is amazing.
That was my game of the generation. The game came out right around the end of the PS3's life cycle. and of that generation, both systems, and I'm a bigger Xbox guy than I am a PlayStation guy, that was the game of that generation. That game was phenomenal. And I love that just about everything you're seeing in the show is what you saw in the game. And the, everything that they've added has just made it better. And it's not a video game adaptation that's trying to run away from the source material. And I think a part of that, that Neil Druckmann, the producer on the game, is working on the show.
He's the show. He's one of the co-showrunners, and he co-directed the second episode, yeah.
The casting's phenomenal.
Casting's great. I mean, you know, you're not going to go wrong with Pedro Pascal in anything you put him in. But Bella Ramsey is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you were, you weren't like a big Game of Thrones person.
Nope.
And she's, you know, she's in Game of Thrones, and she was just great in Game of Thrones, you know, from the time she was like 11. And, you know, so, yeah, and just everybody in that so far has been really, really good. And, you know, I mean, Anna Torv, she's fantastic in it. It's been really good. And I've just spent a lot of time thinking about it and a lot of time, you know, just kind of going over it in my head and just how really, really well put together that show is, both, you know, storytelling-wise, visually, acting, performances, everything.
My only issue, I don't like that they swapped out how the fungus is transmitted. It was spores.
Yeah.
You would see the spores in the game, and now this whole tendril thing.
Yeah, so the reason they did that is they don't want everybody wearing masks.
But the thing, the only time they put masks on in the game were when they had to go underground. So, like, that section when they went through the museum, and then, or when they went in the sewer, they had gas masks on. And those sections, and then I know game time and real time on TV are two different things, but they don't last that long. So, I mean, I get it. It kind of goes back to that MCU thing. Like, why do people's helmets just, now they all have nano ability?
Right. But I think, you know, I also think, like, the visual, you know, impact of seeing those tendrils, like, you know, in that second episode where that, you know, the scene that was shot in, you know, in Indonesia, where they brought that, you know, that professor in to examine that body, and, you know, the reaction she had when she saw those tendrils, you know, you're not going to get that with, like, spores.
It grosses me out.
That's the point. It's supposed to gross you out.
And it makes me hit fast forward. Every time that I saw it, I knew it was about to come. Oh, 15 seconds. See you when it's done. But not, all jokes aside, it's really good. And I'm just glad to see, like, a video game adaptation be done properly.
That works. This ain't Doom.
Not that they're all bad, because the Sonic, those two Sonic movies were pretty good. And this Super Mario Brothers, Chris Pratt casting aside, looks really funny. So yeah, I think video game stuff, you know, IP is going in the right direction.
Yeah, but those are, you know, I mean, the difference is that's, those are comedies.
Yeah,
and that's a different ball of wax.
Well, remember what they tried to do with that last Super Mario Brothers movie?
Yeah, yeah. Well, but I mean, you know, when you take like more serious, you know, stories like Assassin's Creed or Doom or Halo, or, you know,
I didn't have a problem with that Halo show.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
Oh, it didn't. It strayed so far from the source material. But I liked it.
Right. See, this, you know, the fact that this is, like, literally these first two episodes were shot for shot.
Yeah. And they said, we'll do
for the most part of, you know, things that happened, to the point where, like, you know, people were putting on memes about, like, oh, wait till this scene, or wait till this scene, or wait till this scene. You know, my understanding is that starting in episode 3, it kind of strays away from the game's narrative a bit, and kind of gets more into its own thing. I think episode 3 is also the longest episode of the season. So, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to that this week. But yeah, this is really kind of been a surprise for me how really good this is.
I'm also happy I haven't played the game, and so I've jump into it for 10 minutes like every at least once or twice a year. I still have my save, but I haven't played the game straight through to completion since it originally got released. And I'm not talking about the remaster or any of those other re-releases. So while I do remember some things here and there, it does feel fresh enough that I don't want to miss anything. But when you had said, speaking of video games, I thought you were going to mention the Xbox Direct and what they showed of Forza. Did you get a chance to look at it?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously everybody's been waiting around forever for Motorsports 8 to launch. And, you know, they're showing some good stuff. And people are very excited about it. You know, I mean, I do have the Motorsports games. I mean, I do tend to lean more towards Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
I like the open world. But, you know, the things that Playground and
Turn 10.
Turn 10 are coming up with on these games is just kind of fantastic. And, you know, I'm looking forward to 8 dropping. I did get to, I did play the beta, and it was really good. So, yeah. I'm trying to remember. I don't remember when they said it was going to drop.
I saw it. They released something that said before June.
Yeah.
So I'm good with that. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we skedaddle?
I don't think so, no. I just want to mention, you know, we were talking about The Last of Us. I'm going to be doing, getting back together, you know, for those of you who listen to, and we really, really appreciate it, you know, the House of Dragon mini episodes that we were doing. They weren't so many. They were really long. That I was doing with Justin. We're going to do the same thing with The Last of Us. Maybe not every episode. We're going to start after the third episode. We're going to do at least 3 because there's 9 episodes. We may do more depending on how the series goes. But we're looking forward to really doing a deep dive on that. So you can expect to see that in the feed next week. Probably midweek or so.
I'm looking forward to that. I'd like to hear Justin's surprise to a game he has purchased twice and not once completed.
I would challenge him to get to the end of the game before he gets to the end of the season.
I think he might have purchased it. He purchased the original, the remaster, and the second remaster. So, yeah.
And then there's a second game, right? There's a second.
So part chapter. 2 was extremely divisive. Extremely divisive. A main character in the game is a trans character. It didn't bother me the least, but you see the climate we live in. And this was maybe 3 years ago. About 3 years ago, when you know, things are going down this path. So you can imagine that was the main sticking point for most people. Also, Ellie's, let's just say her attraction, what she's attracted to, comes into play. That bothers a lot of people. But
even I knew that.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, there was a nod to it in the second.
Yeah, they actually talked about
boyfriend. Second episode. Yeah.
Yeah, those two things. You see that. It's probably one of the first things you see when the game starts. Those two things bothered a lot of people, but to me, it was really good storytelling, though. Like, the storytelling was still.
Bother people like in a Gamergate incel kind of way,
yeah,
people,
like,
because it's like why does the game need to have that so upfront?
You try to lead my kids down the wrong path. Well, the game's mature. Yeah. Your child shouldn't be playing this game anyways.
Yeah, seriously.
That is one thing I will say. That is one of the first Okay, so for those that don't know, one of the biggest differences between Sony and Microsoft is the same way HBO does Prestige TV, Sony's whole thing is Prestige video games. Their first party games, they always try to do top tier, AAA, big budget movie style games. That has been their thing since PlayStation 3. That is what they excel at. That is their bread and butter. The Last of Us was no different, and when it was one of the first games that I saw in that style be very brutal and upfront with its combat. Like, the fights were fights, as if fights would, if they were realistic. Like, when
like that clicker fight in the movie was pretty much what that fight looks like in the game.
Well, I'm not even talking about the clicker fights. The fights that Joel would get into with other men.
Oh, okay.
It's what you would see if it was a real street fight. Nobody has actual stamina. So we are holding on to each other, falling on the ground. I'm grabbing a 2x4 with a nail. Or whoever gets this last blow is going to put someone down. And it was brutal. And that is the theme of the fights throughout the human-on-human fights in the game. And you see that when he's punching that guy because he's having a flashback of his daughter being shot. That's one of the big things about that game was how realistic the fights were. You know, when most times you think of video games, it's someone's going to jump 20 feet in the air and powerbomb somebody. Like, no, this was, trying to survive. And I'm glad that got carried. I mean, of course, it's HBO. You know it would get carried over into the show. It's Prestige TV. And I think them making this show, I couldn't think of a better, I guess, network to make this show. Like, if that's one thing HBO does well, and the same thing Sony does well, is Prestige TV and Prestige Gaming. So I'm glad it's in their hands. I am worried about Amazon, who will be doing God of War, because they're pretty hit or miss.
Yeah.
And Netflix is doing Gears of War. And have you seen Batista?
I have.
Yeah, he pretty much he wants that bad.
Yeah, and then there's a Dungeons and Dragons movie coming out too.
That looks funny. I would.
It does.
I would check that out. Oh, you know what we haven't talked about?
It's almost like it's not Dungeons. It's like Dungeons and Dragons, but it's kind of not. Like,
yeah.
It's not like super steeped in the world, you know, like Warcraft was. It's just kind of like, we're using like the basic structure of the game, but I don't know. I'm kind of looking forward to that one.
Real quick, Ant-Man trailer. What'd you think?
I liked it. I'm intrigued to see the movie.
I feel like Kang is going to murder Scott Lang.
Do you think so?
He seems that angry. Have you seen Devotion?
No.
You got Paramount Plus?
I do.
Killmonger, Creed, Michael B. Jordan picked the wrong man to be his antagonist. Jonathan Major is going to act circles around this man. And I feel bad for him.
That's the war movie, right?
Yes. He is going to... It's going to be ugly. Thankfully, he's playing the only role he's good at. The guy with the chip on his shoulder and the whole world has done me wrong, so he can be his best Michael B. Jordan. Jonathan Majors can act.
Yeah.
Like, God, that man can act. I didn't even know it was up there. I forgot I had Paramount Plus. And that's how with the Tulsa King. And then I'm like, oh, this is up here already? Mm-hmm. And I did not want to be bothered for the entire time that movie was on. It was good. And I'm really excited to see what he brings to this character. Because my only issue with Josh Brolin, he played Thanos phenomenally. He was Thanos. I finally saw Deadpool 2. And the whole time I'm like, why is Cable Thanos?
It's like, no, Thanos is just Josh Brolin.
Yeah. And that's what I realized. And one day we're going to have a conversation about actors who just play themselves. Because there's a lot of people that just do that. But, yeah. Oh, before we go, this is my one thing. Please, folks, if you're not watching Abbott Elementary, do yourself a favor. Please watch Abbott Elementary. It's probably the funniest show on TV. Like, if you've ever, even if you've never worked with kids or worked in a school or any type of thing like that, you'll get it. But if you've coached baseball, any sport, dealt with kids at any level that aren't your own kids, the show is absolutely hilarious. If you've ever dealt with the school system, hilarious. The show is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. Have you watched it?
No, I'm not a big, like, watch the comedy guy.
That show's hilarious. Because I don't usually do, like, those type of shows. It's hilarious. And that's it. That's all I got to say. Any last, your last words, Mr. Mike?
No. I don't.
All right. We'll see you next week with phase two. If you got the time on your hands, you know, go watch the movies we suggested in the order we suggested. See if it changes anything for you. Peace for me.
Peace out.